Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know. I'm Dr. Cheryl Selman, and it is a pleasure to have you join me today. This is a program dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible. And we do that with our weekly guests, and my guests are wonderful resources. They're health practitioners, researchers, authors, wise elders, and we can certainly learn so much from opening our minds and our hearts to take in the wisdom and the knowledge. I want to let everyone know that I have a special series running this week on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and I did a whole week long of what I call my favorite flu busters. Since flu is taking front and center stage in the news today, and has been for the last week or two, and probably will continue to be a news item, I wanted everybody to learn some of my favorite strategies to protect yourself from the flu, and then what to do when you get the flu. And actually, that is going to be the topic of our show today, so stay tuned because we're going to learn more strategies. I am not in favor of getting flu shots. I don't think they're really effective, and I think there are a lot of risks involved if you, well, really want to investigate more about the real story of the flu shot, just go up on this website, prn.fm. Lots of great information that has been posted. Gary Nell's been talking about it. So really get the whole story. But what we want to do is support the body, support the immune system, and learn the strategies. And then what to do if we do get that bug? How do we nip it in the bud and recover really quickly? So we're going to be discussing a lot of these strategies today as well. And I also want to remind everyone to go over to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, because if you opt in there, you actually will get many of my free reports. In fact, everything on my website is free, all my articles, videos, but you get these special reports that get sent to everyone who opts into the newsletter, and they're great reports about hormone myths, hormone truths. You're going to learn about adrenals, some of the most fundamental information that I've been educating women about for many, many, many years. So do partake. Remember, getting empowered with truthful information really helps us all make the best decision possible. I'm really about getting empowered with truthful information. So speaking about getting empowered with truthful information, we have a fantastic show planned today with a wonderful guest, Dr. Michael Smith. We're going to be talking about some of the best strategies that exist to prevent the flu and to deal with the flu when you get it. There are lots and lots and lots of options. And we're going to discuss a lot of other things about how to support our health and what's in our medicine cabinet and just great practical strategies. So first of all, let me just take a moment and introduce you to my guest, Dr. Michael Smith. He is a graduate of the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. Dr. Smith completed an internship in internal medicine at the University of Utah and a residency in radiology at the Utah Southwestern Medical Center. Currently, Dr. Smith is host of Healthy Talk Radio and is writing a book on the dietary supplement pyramid. And we're going to have to find out what that's all about as well in our conversation today. Dr. Smith has been a recurring guest on The Suzanne Show and most recently has contributed to Martha Stewart's Whole Living website. He has been a guest lecturer for numerous anti-aging organizations in South Florida and appeared on numerous syndicated national radio shows. And in his spare time, Dr. Smith manages several content-based medical websites, if he has any spare time. So it is such a pleasure to welcome Dr. Michael Smith to the show. So, Dr. Mike, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me, Dr. Selman. It's a pleasure.
And we should tell all our listeners that we kind of have a mutual admiration society here because I was very fortunate to be invited to help launch Dr. Mike's new radio show.
And thank you for doing that. That was a great beginning, I thought.
Oh, great. So it's nice to kind of reciprocate and have you here because you've got some wonderful things to share
well,
with
you.
My audience today. So, You know, the flu really is in the news, isn't it? It's you can't listen to any news report. And we're really scared. We're frightened. We're kind of led to believe we're in the midst of this really dangerous epidemic. And people are dying. There's no doubt about it. People with weakened immune systems always, there are always some that do succumb.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's a pandemic that's going on right now. And we need to know what to do. You know, certainly when I hear that, I don't feel intimidated or frightened because I have a strategy and I've been preparing and I will continue to support my body. And that's what I think we need to talk about today so people feel empowered and get the knowledge to assist them in really giving their immune system everything it needs. And if you do get that bug, what do we do about it?
What can we do about it? I think the strategy, the strategy really needs to be twofold, right? There's on one end, you know, what can I do to keep my immune system strong, and not just strong, Dr. Selman, this time of the year, but strong all the time.
Right.
I work with Life Extension a lot, and it's a longevity company, and we talk a lot about ways to live longer, or at least healthier longer. But one thing we don't probably talk about enough is how important the immune system is to that. So one of the things we want to do, I think, today is first just talk about what are the things you can do, very simple things to keep your immune system strong that goes towards longevity and also will protect you during the flu season. Now, let's be honest, you can do all this wonderful stuff for your immune system, but if somebody has the flu and they cough on you, which unfortunately happens sometimes this time of the year, I mean, you're asking these supplements to do a lot. So it's important also, I think, on the second part of this to have a strategy that you can initiate the minute you don't feel right. The minute something doesn't feel like it's, I got coughed on or there's people sick at work and something's not right, you need to initiate some steps right away. And if you do, you greatly, increase your odds of not getting sick. And if you do get sick, it's going to be real quick and not very severe.
So that's what we need to talk about. All this is really great, and we'll go back to the beginning, and let's talk a bit about the immune system. I think that subject is a little confusing for people, this thing called the immune system. But I just want to make a comment that you said and endorse what you just commented on here. When we start feeling something that's not right, and often it's very subtle, right? It's not like anything really obvious, but we just have a sense that something is not right. It's at that moment.
That's when you have to act. No, that's when you have to do something, right? Dr. Selman, if your listeners wait until they get a fever, it's too late.
Because it settles in, it kind of burrows in, and if we can catch it right at that very something not right stage and take the extreme measures, really
if you act fast, you give the nutrients. So why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about what to do if you start feeling sick or you don't quite feel right? Let's start there first. Remember, you got to act fast. If you wait for the fever, it's too late. The common symptoms, and I think this is a good thing to review quickly, some of the common symptoms of the flu early on when you need to act are things like a scratchy throat, dry hacky cough, changes in your sinuses, sinus pressure, sinus drainage. Those are the time. Maybe you start feeling a little achy. That might be getting a little late, though, Dr. Selman. It's usually something to do with the upper respiratory tract because that's where the flu virus comes in. And so most people will have a change either in their voice, their cough, whatever it may be. That's the time to act. And the first thing that I think this is powerful, no one really talks about this, you wouldn't even think about doing this, but it's so powerful, it's amazing to me. It's called cimetidine, and that is known over the counter as Tagamet. Have you ever heard about this?
No, actually I haven't.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cimetidine or Tagamet is a heartburn pill. You can get it at CVS or mm-hmm. Walgreens or whatever your neighborhood store is. It's cheap, mm-hmm. it's easy. If you take that drug, which is normally for heartburn, right when you start getting sick, here's what happens. Your immune system, you mentioned it's kind of confusing and it can be, but there's two parts to the immune system. There's one part that is there to kill everything. And then there's another part that is there to kind of control the killers. You don't want the immune cells that can kill things to go too crazy, right? Because they'll start killing everything. So you have a built-in inhibitory system called suppressor cells, suppressor T cells specifically in your body. What we've noticed is when the vitamin D level drops, and we'll talk about vitamin D obviously a little bit later, but when the vitamin D level drops this time of the year, the suppressor cells go higher. So you have this dampening effect on the immune cells that can kill viruses. Well, cimetidine, the minute you start feeling sick, when you take it, reduces the suppressor cells. So it allows your immune system to activate fast. And now you're developing these immune cells that can do direct virus killing actions. You're allowing them to activate fast, and you're going to get a hold of that virus. You're going to kill it fast with this heartburn drug called cimetidine. About 800 milligrams a day. If you start it early, you'll only have to do it maybe for 4 or 5 days, and you're going to kill the virus before it takes over. That's my first suggestion.
Wow, and you really want to have these things in your home.
Yeah,
you know, in the medicine cabinet or somewhere, right? You know, ready to go.
Absolutely. I have cimetidine in my, it's a matter of fact, I have it here in my office.
Hmm.
I have it right here, so if I start, you know, feeling anything, that's one of the first things I'll reach for, and it's amazing what this can do. Now, not only does it kill the virus, the flu virus, it kills the rhinovirus, and it also kills the virus this time of the year called the rotavirus, which causes a lot of the gastrointestinal upset that goes along with the flu. So you're talking about three viruses that can be killed with cimetidine or Tagamet. Very simple. Have it in your purse, right? Have it in your car, wherever. You start getting the scratchy throat, that's where you start. What I like to suggest next, now, I'm going to suggest a bunch of things here, okay? And what you, I kind of have them ranked in order what I like. The key thing is just to start one of these early. But I like to start with the cimetidine. The second one is garlic. Garlic extract works. There's a lot of good studies, Dr. Selman, that shows it activates a very specific type of cell called the antigen-presenting cell. These are the cells that recognize the flu bug in your nasal mucosal lining, and it presents it to the immune cells that can kill the virus. When you have more activated antigen-presenting cells floating around, you're going to kill viruses faster, just like when you add cimetidine. And you want to do, now you're going to do a lot of garlic extract. The average dose for garlic, if you're trying to protect your heart, is maybe 500 to 1,000 milligrams. Maybe some people go up to 1,500 milligrams there. But when you want to fight the virus, you want to do 5,000 milligrams a day. Now that's a high dose, but you're only going to do that for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And then you stop.
Right.
And that's going to activate those cells. They present the virus to the ones that can kill, and the virus doesn't have a chance. One more thing about garlic. There's a lot of garlics out there that are they market themselves as the ones that don't smell if you take them.
Right.
Well, that's not going to work. You need to do the good old-fashioned garlic extract that when you take 5,000 milligrams for a couple days, you're going to smell it through your pores, and that's a good thing. That means it's working and you're fighting the virus. That's my second suggestion.
So how do you know which one that is?
Yeah, well, it's gonna have the look on the back label. It needs to have the gallic acid, G-A-L-L-I-C, gallic acid.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't say that on the back label, I would look for one that does.
Okay.
When you remove that acid, it doesn't smell. However, it's the acid that has that ability to activate those antigen-presenting cells.
So would aged garlic have that effect?
Aged garlic is going to, because it's going to be concentrated in the gallic acid, so that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want to cook with it, do what you can, but keep in mind, you're doing 5,000 milligrams. You'd have to cook with a whole lot of garlic to get that amount. So doing a capsule for 4 or 5 days at that dose is probably the best way you want to go.
Okay.
Now, another one that I like, so that's, let's see, that's cimetidine, that's garlic. Another one that I like is called lactoferrin. Have you heard of this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is from mother's milk. When a baby suckles on mother's milk, the colostrum, it's loaded with this protein called lactoferrin. Lactoferrin activates immune cells that can kill viruses. And you want to do about 1,200 milligrams a day. The minute you start feeling something not right, you achy, cough, whatever it may be, act fast, consider lactoferrin 1,200 milligrams a day. And it, again, it activates immune cells that kill viruses. So that's an important one there, too. I also like zinc. I keep some zinc at my desk. You know, we know that zinc is good at blocking the attachment of viruses to the cells in the respiratory tract. That's how the flu and the cold virus get in, is they attach to the cells in your sinuses, your nose, the back of your throat, what's called the adenoid tissue, and that tissue just soaks those viruses right in. Well, zinc acts like a coating on top of those cells, and the virus can't get in. So, and now you're going to do a lot. You're going to do about 24 milligrams twice a day. That's a lot of zinc, but again, only for about a week, because you're going to start feeling better. You don't need to continue at that high dose for very long. So these doses that I'm going over right now, Dr. Sullivan, are high doses, but they're quick. It's just for a few days, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know, it's realizing they are therapeutic. Most people are low in zinc anyway, so you really do need to boost that zinc level up. And
yeah, it's actually going to be good for most people. You're right. It's going to improve their zinc status overall. But, you know, the caveat is there. You know, you don't, just be careful. It is a higher dose than what you would see, say, at a multivitamin.
Right.
Yeah. So you want to do a standalone zinc lozenge or something like that, and you just let it kind of dissolve in your mouth. And that's going to coat that lining of your nose, your mouth, and that blocks the virus from coming in. And then, of course, the big one, vitamin D, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I assume Dr. Sullivan, you take this every day. I know I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of vitamin D. Everybody should be. Not only is it going to prevent you from getting sick, if you increase your dose when you do feel a little sick, it can have powerful effects, and it's okay to double your vitamin D dose for a few days. That's not going to affect your total blood level too much. Everything will be fine. Matter of fact, I can give you a personal story. I was with some friends over the past weekend. One of them wasn't feeling well. She got full-blown sick. Next thing you know, a couple days later, I didn't feel well. I doubled my vitamin D dose. Matter of fact, I just doubled my dose again today. This will probably be the last day I do it, and I feel perfectly fine.
Yeah, good for you. And I mean, when it comes to vitamin D, I really like high amounts to be taken for a very short period of time. But I don't know how you feel about this. But I recommend up to 50,000 for the first couple of days.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Sullivan, the real issue with vitamin D, in my opinion, isn't really the dose, anyways. It's your blood level. It's how much is in your blood, and it's so important, I believe, and this is my opinion, to get a vitamin D blood test.
Yeah.
You know, see where you're at in your blood level, and then you can really pinpoint that best dose that's going to get you into an optimal range and then keep you there. The CDC and the NIH have decided that a vitamin D blood level of about 30 is optimal. Well, that's deficient in my opinion. I think that's silly.
Right.
I think it needs to be, you know, I think life extension, we use a range of about 70 to 80.
Yes.
Honestly, I go higher. I like around 80, let's say. Yeah. I'll go to the upper end of that range. And if you're doing 400 units a day of vitamin D, I promise you, you're not near an optimal blood level.
You know, I just want to reiterate that point you made, and that is the importance of getting your blood tested workup for your vitamin D levels, because you've got to hit that optimal range. And I have so many people say to me, yes, I've gotten my vitamin D levels tested and my doctor said they're fine. And I went, okay, but I need a number. I need a number. I never accept fine or good by a traditional medical doctor. And sure enough, you know, their levels are 30, 40, 50, whatever. And I just keep reminding people they've got to be in optimal range. We can, with vitamin D, okay is not good enough if you really want full benefit.
And I can give you my own personal story here. When my blood level right now is, I guess it's been about 6 months since I checked it, was right at about 80. And in order for me to keep it there, I take 5,000 to 7,000 units every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tell people that, and they look at me like, oh, my gosh, that's dangerous. But no, it's not. It's not the dose. Don't let the dose fool you. It's really the blood level. And I know that in me, it takes that much to keep my blood level at right about 80. And that's the most important thing, is that blood level. And until you test your blood level, you're just guessing, and most likely you're guessing real low on your dose.
You know, it's exactly what I tell people. You can't afford to guess. And, you know, I do this nutritional genomic test, which is quite interesting because one of the panels is looking at your vitamin D receptors. I don't know if you do that, but it's fascinating because just about every single person I've ever tested has impaired vitamin D receptor genes, which means that their ability to make the vitamin D hormone from all the precursors is impaired in by the gut and the liver not getting the right instructions. So I tell people it's critical that they've got to get their vitamin D levels tested, because with that defect, you need to be sure you're taking enough to get you in optimal range and keep you in optimal range.
And it really is the key. It's the key to preventing the flu, and in this case, doubling the dose for a few days is perfectly fine, and that's actually going to keep you pretty much from getting sick. Now, there's some other ones that I want to mention here, too. I actually really like bitter herbs for fighting viruses, and I did a whole lecture on viruses hate bitter herbs, and I focused on, and let me just kind of run through the list here, and then I'll talk about my favorite. There's what's called Andrographis, which is the king of bitters. Then you have aronia extracts, which is the queen of bitters. Mm. Then you have astragalus. And then lastly, and this is probably one I think will be up and coming for the immune system in this industry, that's honeysuckle. Mm. Now those are the four ones that I like the most. Out of those four, the one I have, so on my desk I have the cimetidine, the tagamet, I have some zinc, and I also have this green box of Andrographis. Have you heard of Andrographis?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Oh, Andrographis paniculata is the full name. It is the king of bitters. Do not bite into the tablet because you will hate me. It's horrible. I've tried it before. And what it does, there are compounds in this herb called andrographolides. These are the bitter compounds. Well, study after study shows that they upregulate the regulatory immune cells. What that means is there are certain cells that do the killing, and then there are certain cells that regulate those killing immune cells, the ones that kill the viruses. And it's so important to have these types of regulating cells around because they orchestrate the immune response. Well, that's exactly what Andrographis does, is it orchestrates the immune response. You're going to do about 300 milligrams a day. Now, as with any herb, what's probably more important than the dose is the standardization. There's a lot of Andrographis products out there that may be 300 milligrams, but they're not standardized properly to the andrographolides. You want to make sure. Look on that back label. We need to be smart consumers, right? The front label is just marketing stuff. Turn to the back label, and you should see in parentheses what it's standardized to, and it should be 5% at least to the andrographolides. If it's 5%, usually between 5 and 10% will be the right standardization. That's a powerful Andrographis product. That's the one you want.
And do you take this as preventative, or do you take this the first sign?
You know, people can. There are people will do Andrographis throughout the cold and flu season. You could even do it every day. I don't think you need to do the 300 milligrams. That dose is really to fight that flu when you start feeling weird or sick or whatever. So I personally don't take it every day. I just have it on my desk when I don't feel quite right. That might be the one that I reach for. So I have a few choices right here at my office.
Okay, sounds great. Anything else?
Well, there's a whole bunch.
Okay, keep going. The fact of the matter is, you do all those things if you get the first sign, right?
Well, you don't know. I think. You want to at least have one of these. So we talked about cimetidine. That's the tagamet. That's a great, great one. You got garlic. We talked about zinc, lactoferrin, vitamin D, and Andrographis. I don't think you have to have all of those ready to go. What works well for me is the cimetidine.
Yeah.
The zinc and the Andrographis. So those are the three that I have right here that I could just kind of go with at any time. Other people might try different things. I know there's a lot of people here at Life Extension that really like the garlic extract. That seems to work well for them. Some people really like the lactoferrin. So I think you just play around with it, but those are the three that I use. You don't have to do all these choices. Usually, if you act fast enough, and I can't emphasize that more, right? If you act fast, usually one or two of these in combination will take care of it.
You know, I just have to say there's one other thing that I really like to use and incorporate in my little flu protection or flu recovery protocol, and that is homeopathic formulas. And have you used them before? Have you used any homeopathics?
Yeah, I personally don't use them, and not that I have my regimen that works well for me. And it's kept me from being sick for many, many years now, so I haven't moved into some of those homeopathic remedies. But I'm not against them. It's just not what I use personally. But I work with a lot of people that do use them.
Yeah, I find them really, really effective. There's one product called, it's a long name, but it's shortened to Oscillo, OSCILLO. It is the most popular over-the-counter product in France for the flu prevention. That's what they don't go for the flu shots. They go for Oscillo
because
it is so effective. And that's just one thing that I definitely recommend to people and to keep some around. It can also be used preventatively. So if you are going into an environment where there's a lot of flu, traveling or, you know, stadium or, you know, concert hall, whatever, you may want to take some and just give that immune system a little boost. And it's actually made from duck livers, I think, because ducks don't get the flu for some reason. It's an interesting story. But anyway, it's a homeopathic, so no one's taking duck livers. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
You know. But, the point is we have so many options that
yes,
are effective.
There are. Absolutely, yeah. And of course, conventional doctors. And I'm not beating up on them. I'm a medical doctor myself, trained conventionally. And we're just not taught this stuff. I had to teach myself all of this.
Exactly.
And so that's okay. They just don't know. They're going to rely on the flu shot. Let's talk about the flu shot just for a moment.
Oh, yes, please.
First of all, the statistics that the CDC put out about the flu shot, I think, are completely unreliable. I never can understand where they get their stats from. Last year, they claimed that the flu vaccine decreased the risk of flu infection by 62%. And when you really investigate where they come up with that number, Dr. Selman, I can't mm-hmm. figure it out.
Oh, really?
I don't know where they get that from. And so I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't know. It's not easy to find. They protect a lot of that data. They don't release a lot of the infectious disease data because they claim that they're worried about outbreaks and people getting scared for no reason, et cetera, et cetera. So they claim that they can protect that data and not share it with doctors for fear of, you know, causing scares. So there's really no way to verify some of the information that they put out about the flu vaccines. We also know, though, that there are some independent groups out there currently looking at the correlation of the increase in flu diagnoses with those who have received the flu vaccine simply by doing their own surveys outside of the CDC. One of them showed that it looked like in Dallas, Denver, and it was one other city I can't remember, that two-thirds of the flu cases that have been absolutely diagnosed and proven with looking for the virus using different testing, two-thirds of the cases were people who had the flu virus. So two-thirds of the people in a few major cities who got the flu vaccine are the ones that are having who are getting the diagnosis of a flu. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us something that I think here at Life Extension we've talked about a lot, and I know other groups talk about this. The flu vaccine itself, because of all the gunk that comes with it, the toxins that are in there, probably lowers your immune system. And so you're lowering your immune system. Maybe you're making a few antibodies to the viruses that are out there, but it overall has a dampening effect on those immune killers. So if you remember at the beginning of this conversation, Dr. Selman, I mentioned that this time of the year, vitamin D levels drop in people who aren't supplementing with it, and that allows the suppressor cells to come up. So most people during the winter months when they're not making vitamin D and the vitamin D levels drop are already immunosuppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a flu shot that also lowers or dampens the flu, your immune system even more, which may make you more susceptible to getting the flu. Now, people who have gotten the flu shots will tell you, well, I don't like it because sometimes I get the flu. Well, the CDC will tell you that's because we can't cover all the different viruses that are out there. Well, again, we don't have any proof of what viruses are out there because they hold that information. Could it be that people who get the flu shots actually get the flu, not because there's different viruses that aren't in the vaccine, but because they've lowered their immune system with the vaccine? That's kind of information we can't get.
Yeah, interesting. So it's really alerting people to the fact that you've got to support your immune system and don't expect the flu shot to protect you. If anything, as you just stated, it could further compromise you and make you more vulnerable.
You know, most of the people I deal with, Dr. Selman, who take care of their immune system, who take some of those supplements we mentioned, some of the homeopathic things you mentioned, I mean, when you do that kind of stuff, there's really, in my opinion, no need for it. Now, let's shift.
Well, you know what, Dr. Mike, let's take a moment because we need to take a little station break here.
Sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about beefing up our immune system and things that really will help us. So we are going to be right back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Don't go away. Great information to keep you strong and healthy this winter. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we have such a knowledgeable guest, Dr. Michael Smith, who is an author. He's a medical doctor. He is a host of his own radio show. He is, has several websites that manages several content-based medical websites, I should say, and is out there really helping to share truthful information around your health and well-being. Dr. Mike, let's talk about your radio show so people can learn more about that and how to tune into it, because you do some great things on your show. You've got wonderful guests, great information. Where do they go?
You can listen live anywhere in the country at wwnnradio.com, and or you can also just go to the Life Extension website, who's my sponsor, and that's at lef.org/healthytalk. And you can listen to archive shows. You can listen live Wednesdays from 1 to 2 Eastern. But we're just wanting people to go to the website, because on that landing page at Life Extension, there's related products, related links, other information, the archives. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for everybody, and that's lef.org/healthytalk.
And I have to say, I love Life Extension, particularly love the magazine and articles and the research. That's the one magazine that I consistently get and read. And I really stay on the leading edge there.
Reads more like a medical journal. It's really meant to teach. It's not so much about selling products and stuff. We are an information-based company, and that's where everything begins and ends for us. So it's about teaching.
Yeah, that's great. Isn't there an opportunity to get 6 months of free subscription to Life Extension?
Yeah, actually, if you go to lef.org/healthytalk, right there, your listeners can sign up to get a 6 months free membership at Life Extension, which comes with all kinds of benefits, and then also they can get a free month supply of the Life Extension 2 per day, which was the number one ranked multivitamin on the market last year, and we just found out this year by Consumer Labs. So that's all free. So free stuff is good too, right?
Oh, gosh. You're talking to the converted here. Free stuff? We're in. That's great. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for people to get a free six-month subscription, because it is such fabulous information.
We know that once we give you 6 months free after reading that, you're going to want it all the time.
You get addicted.
Yeah, you do.
It's good information, good strategies. And your Life Extension really stays on that leading edge. They're way ahead of the curve when it comes to the best strategies or the best discoveries.
Well, you know, we've been around. People don't realize Life Extension has actually been around for 33 years. And so we've been putting together a huge gold mine of information for 33 years. We funded over $100 million in anti-aging research throughout the world in just the past 10 years. So most of what you learn about, some of the stuff we're talking about today with the immune system, fish oil, vitamin D, CoQ10, a lot of that came from research either we did or we funded. So, yeah, we do the research, we talk about it, and we teach it as much as we can.
That's great. Okay, well, let's go back to doing some more teaching about immune system and flu. So we talked the first half of the show of some fantastic strategies if you get the flu. We started there. So do we want to go with some strategies just to keep, as I like to say, buff up your immune system and keep it in a balanced, healthy state?
Sure, and I think these are things that that you need to do every day because we want a strong immune system all the time. We know that people with a stronger immune system simply live longer, so it has longevity effects. I do want to say one more thing about the if you start feeling sick. Of course, washing your hands is important, but washing for at least 20 seconds is key. But also research is coming out, Dr. Selman, showing that one of the ways we get the flu virus into our system is, believe it or not, we bite our nails. And the flu virus loves to reside under the nail bed, or right underneath your nail. So if you're a nail biter, you got to stop, because that is putting it right into your nasal and oral cavity. So stop.
Oh, right.
Yeah, people don't realize that, but touching your face is something you want to, as best you can. We touch our face a lot, but biting nails, stuff like that, you got to avoid.
What about those hand sanitizers? Do they do any good?
You know, I think they can. I think, okay, maybe they're a little overdone. I don't think you need to over-sterilize everything. There are certain things like the phone, if it's a shared phone, a mouse for a computer, a keyboard, anything that you share with somebody at work. Those use your wipes a lot if you're touching that, sure. Public bathrooms, that's fine. But I do think we overdo that a little bit at home, and let me tell you why. And this may sound weird to some people, but it's true. The immune system does need to be challenged a little bit. In a sense, when you are exposed to bugs here and there, viruses, bacteria throughout your day a little bit, that primes your immune system. It gets you ready for what might be coming around the bend later in the winter months. And I don't really like it when people over-sanitize their home, for instance. There is something to be said about getting a little sniffle here and there. That's actually good for the immune system. It's kind of like, you know, if you don't work a muscle, it gets weak. It's kind of the same thing for the immune system. If you don't work it, it gets weak. So I think you can overdo it. Warm water, regular soap works just as fine. Don't touch your face. Don't bite your nails. And then those common areas, that you can wipe off with the wipes. Maybe use the hand sanitizers at work. And I think that's really all you need there.
Can I just mention one thing that I really like? One of my favorite products is a nano silver called Silver Biotics that can be purchased, I guess, in shops online, or a good colloidal silver. But this product comes as a gel, and if you use it as a hand sanitizer, but it's a silver product, so silver is known for killing viruses,
right,
and bacteria and fungus, it can be just as effective without having that dangerous antibacterial effect that often occurs when we sanitize too much. So that's
right.
Just another thing that I really like.
That's a good point. Now, other things you can do, and so we've talked about what not to do, what to do the minute you start feeling sick. Acting fast is key. So what can we do every day for our immune system? You know, Dr. Selman, I think the first one, and I think we forget about it because you don't think of it too much as an immune booster, but it really is, and that's glutathione. Glutathione is the body's most potent internal antioxidant, and several studies have shown that people who have higher levels of glutathione or a higher level of glutathione activity have immune cells that circulate longer. And that's really important during the cold and flu season. Now, there's different ways to get glutathione. You can do reduced glutathione in a capsule, and you probably want to do around 1 to 2 grams a day. But you can also consider doing some of the precursors that work pretty well of glutathione, like N-acetylcysteine, which is known as NAC in the industry, about 1,200 milligrams a day, and also SAMe, which people do for joints and mood. SAMe is also really good for boosting glutathione levels, about 200 milligrams a day. It's just a key antioxidant that the immune cells use, and the reason it is, immune cells, like T cells that kill viruses, they often kill viruses using oxidative molecules. So as you're fighting a virus and you're getting more killing effect, the oxidative level in those immune cells goes up dramatically, and they can actually be killed from their own. It's almost like when you have friendly fire, in a sense. So immune cells can actually damage each other because they're using these oxidative compounds. So glutathione is really important to protecting the immune cells themselves. And if you're fighting a virus, glutathione levels drop off dramatically. So boosting that up, I think, on a daily basis is really important. That's one. Another one to consider for an everyday use as an antioxidant is grapeseed extract. I'm a big fan of grapeseed extract. Do you take that one? Or
I don't take grapeseed extract.
First of all, you should try to eat the seeds as much as you can, but people don't like to because they're bitter.
Yeah,
so organic grapeseeds that have the seeds still in them is really good for you. What I do is I'll freeze them, and they become little popsicle treats.
Uh-huh.
And in when you eat the seeds when they're frozen, there's no bitter taste anymore.
Oh, interesting. So you freeze the whole fruit or just the seeds? Or
The whole fruit. I'll buy organic, you know, grapes with the seed in, because now they're developing seedless grapes, stuff like that. But the good old-fashioned organic grape that has the seed in it, I freeze it, and I eat it like as a little cold treat, because I do enjoy the coldness.
Right.
And you don't taste the bitterness of the seed at all.
Oh, that's a good idea. Of course, you're in Florida, so, you know, you don't mind doing a little cold thing in the wintertime.
Yeah, because
for most of us, I think we shudder at that thought.
Down here. So, yeah,
well,
you're right.
Could we just freeze the seeds, you think?
You know what? Try it. See what happens. I've never done that before. I just do the fruit, but give it a shot. But the freezing, I'm not sure what's going on or how it works, but the bitterness goes away.
Oh, interesting.
Now, you'd have to eat a lot, let's be honest, to get the antioxidants out of the seeds. You'd have to eat tons of those seeds because they are small. But we know that grape seed extract, about 250 milligrams a day, is twice as potent as vitamin E and four times as potent as vitamin C.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Grape seed extract every day. Another one, this is a mineral antioxidant, is selenium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, selenium is so important for the immune system. It modulates, we talked before about there are certain cells in the immune system that orchestrate the response. They're kind of like the supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
That's what andrographis can help with. Well, selenium can do that on an everyday basis for you. Selenium is really important to modulating the immune response, modulating the production of cytokines and inflammatory markers. When you need it, selenium helps to produce them. When you don't need it, selenium helps to calm them down. Most multivitamins don't have enough selenium. They probably have around 50 micrograms. That's not near enough, in my opinion. I like about 250 micrograms a day of selenium. And here's another thing about it. If there is any listeners out there who are dealing with HIV infection, selenium has been shown to be an antiretroviral. And you need to do about 600 micrograms a day. Right now it's being studied in small pilot studies in Africa with great effects so far in lowering viral replication with HIV patients. I mean, think about that, selenium, right?
That's so interesting. If anyone is listening from Michigan, I know the soil up there is really, really depleted in selenium, which is why there are often high cancer rates in that part of the country. So selenium is so essential. We're very deficient, and you really can't get enough from one of the primary sources, which is Brazil nuts. Do you think eating three or four Brazil nuts would be enough?
It might be enough to reach the RDI, which is 50 micrograms a day, but not near enough to reach what I call the ODI, the optimal daily intake. And that's about 250 micrograms a day. By the way, that ODI, I made that up totally for the book that I'm writing. It's not scientific. It's just based on the research.
Right.
If you look at the research where selenium has an immune effect, it's at least 250 micrograms a day. So I call that the ODI based on research.
Yeah.
If you do a multivitamin, or a couple of Brazil nuts, you're getting enough not to have deficiency effects of selenium, but you're not doing enough to boost your immune system.
Right, and then again, you don't know how well you're digesting and absorbing, and if it's rancid, and you know, there's so many variables.
So many factors there, yeah. But most of the food sources of any vitamin and mineral are good. You're going to get enough to where you don't get deficiencies of the of a vitamin or mineral. But I make a pretty good case in the book that I'm writing about the pyramid that, you know, really in our day and age, supplementation really is key. We want you to eat right. We want you to eat organic. We want you to eat raw as much as you can. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I think that's so important. But, you know, given the poor soils, it's not just in Michigan. I mean, they do soil surveys throughout the South, and they're depleted of basic nitrates and carbonates. These are the basic compounds that soils needs to produce healthy food. And we've been low since the first soil survey, which was in 1910.
Yeah.
And we haven't really done anything to reinvigorate the soils. And so we've been eating nutrient-poor food. A tomato today is not a tomato 200 years ago. It just isn't. So supplementation, if you want to do more than just prevent deficiencies, if all you want to do is prevent deficiencies, eat good food, maybe take a basic, you know, CVS multivitamin and be done with it. But if you really are looking to go beyond that and really reap the benefits that the research shows that these vitamins and minerals can do, then you need to take what I call the ODI, the optimal daily intake.
Okay. So is there anything, I want you to talk a little bit about the new book you're writing. So while we have a little time left, is there anything that we need to complete on the subject of preparing and boosting?
One last one, and this goes into a new field, Dr. Selma, that I'm really interested in, and that's called nutrigenomics.
Mm-hmm.
It's how food influences expression of genes. You know, we used to think that the genes you got, you know, you get half your genes from your mom, half from your dad, and that's pretty much it. Well, the genes themselves, the blueprint, that is it. However, we now know that food and nutrients can really influence, right, how those genes are expressed in positive, and some cases, if you're eating bad, negative ways. Well, one of the original foods, or I should say, in this case, teas, that were studied in its influence on the DNA was black tea. Black tea has a compound in it called theoflavin. And about 100 milligrams a day of theoflavin, it's able to go into your genome, into the DNA, and influence in a positive way the expression of immune proteins, which is really important to keep your immune system kind of primed and ready to go and fight when you are hit by something. That's black tea, theoflavins. I wrote a blog last year. I said, is black the new green tea? Now, I didn't mean that black's better than green tea. That wasn't the point of it. But I do think we're missing something. Black tea is very powerful. It has what we call nutrigenomic effects, black tea.
Well, we need to go back to our, you know, ancient history of tea drinking, because obviously it's showing to be a really beneficial
It is, and each tea, you know, tea always comes from the same plant. It's Camellia sinensis. If it's white tea, it's an early, young plant.
Mm-hmm.
If it's green, it's ripe. If it's black, it's been oxidized, but in a good way. But what studies are now showing, as you move from white to green to black, the compound of antioxidants do change. And so each one of those, white, green, black, have their own benefits, if you will. White tea gives you a nice blend or a variety of antioxidants, but none of them are too concentrated. As you go to black tea, you lose some of those other antioxidants, but you really concentrate the theoflavins, which have been shown to be good for inflammation, as I mentioned, and also cholesterol levels.
Well, that's wonderful news, because I'm sitting here having my cup of black tea.
I am too.
Cheers.
There you go.
Okay, so let's talk a little about the research you're doing for your new book.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's an adventure writing a book. It's a lot of work. I've been doing lectures throughout the country on how do you actually build and maintain a supplement regimen. One of the most common questions, Dr. Selman, I get from family, from friends, you know, Life Extension has members all over the world, and they call in. We have health advisors, and one of the most common questions is, what should I take? Or should I take this new thing that's out? Or, you know, I just can't afford all this. What things should I keep? What shouldn't I keep? So many people are confused about what they're taking, what they're not taking. And so I decided to write a book that would teach people how to build what I call, you know, how we have a food pyramid. I call it the supplement pyramid. And this book is going to teach people how to develop a regimen that's completely personalized and individualized, that meets their needs perfectly, And yet it organizes it for them. They'll never forget why they're taking something if they follow this book and follow the steps in building a pyramid like this. I break the pyramid up into three sections. There's the lower part of the pyramid, which I call the foundation. And I ask the question, why have the Egyptian pyramids lasted so long? Well, because they have a good foundation, right? I mean, you build a good foundation, things last. So the very bottom part of your supplement pyramid is going to be the same for everybody. This is where it's not personalized. And I do believe we all, based on poor soils, based on all of the toxins in our environment, you know, the things that we're doing to ourselves, supplementation really is key. And I do believe we all need a good high-quality multivitamin. I do believe we all need the essential fatty acids, the omega-3 oils. I believe that we all need CoQ10, which is the nutrient that helps your cells make energy. And then I also think we all need probiotics, which is for a healthy gut. So you start from the bottom up with the multivitamin, the fats, the CoQ10, the probiotics, and as you do you add one at a time, that builds your foundation. As you're doing that, you then move into the second part of the pyramid, which is the middle part, and I call that the personal prevention. And this is where it gets really just about you. The things you've gone through, your personal medical history, your family history, your own personal goals, those kind of supplements fall into the middle part. And in order to build this, when the book comes out, you'll be able to take what I call a medical inventory. I'm developing supplement quizzes that you can take, and you'll get a number for your heart, your brain. And based on that number, there'll be suggestions for you. Also in that prevention part, I talk about certain blood tests, nutrient testing, hormone testing, and how that all can fulfill this middle part, which is all about you, Dr. Selman, and only you. The top part of the pyramid is what I call the optimization part. This is the part that really, in a sense, optimizes your regimen. It really makes it the best it can be. It might have to do with some longevity nutrients. Yeah, maybe we'll throw in some nutrients there that help the ones in the prevention and the foundation work better, last longer in your blood. So the top part of that pyramid is just, it really rounds it out and makes it complete. But the reason I order it like that is you always know always begins in the foundation and works its way up. So if you ever want to stop something, you don't stop at the bottom. Many people will stop the multivitamin, yet they keep taking that herb that they're getting from the Amazon that's $400 a day. They reverse it. So by building the pyramid this way, you know what's the most important I don't want to say least important, but less important. So it organizes it, it manages it for you, and it's personalized for you.
You know, that's fantastic. There's no one that I know has written a book to address that because it is a confusing subject.
What do we take?
What's the foundations? What's most essential? Where do we go from there? So good for you. Congratulations on this project.
Thank you. Emerging. I appreciate it. It's a big project. It's turning out to be a lot bigger than I thought, but it's okay.
I would think so with all those quizzes and things. It's just, you know,
yeah,
God bless you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I like that part too, by the way. The quizzes are based upon real clinical risk assessments from conventional medicine, but I modify them to make more sense in the supplement world. So the quizzes have good science behind them as well. It's a huge project, and hopefully by July of this year it'll be ready to be sold, and we'll get your listeners some.
Well, we will get you back on after
awesome.
That book comes out. That'll be fantastic. So before we go, we're at the end of the show. Do you have a website that you'd like to direct people to?
I would like to direct them to the Healthy Talk website. I think that's really what I'm promoting right now. So lef.org/healthytalk. And it's a one-stop shop. It's all about the show, supplements, all kinds of literature, and there's free stuff, free membership, free magazine, free bottle of the award-winning 2-per-day multivitamin.
Well, such a deal. How can
yeah,
we
it's awesome.
Turn it down?
Go check it out.
Well,
plus they can listen to the show there right there on that site.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Michael Smith, for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dr. Summon. It was
it's
great.
It's been a pleasure. And all my listeners, thank you for listening in. I trust that this is supporting you on your journey to greater health and well-being. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.